Welcome to another telehealth podcast. My name is Mike Patterson. I'm going to be your host this afternoon. Today, we have the pleasure of having Mustafa Sheikh, the CEO and founder of Boston Bite. Welcome, Mustafa.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Mike.
Well, it's nice to have you. I guess let's just start finding out a little bit about, you know, how Boston Bite came into being and a little bit about yourself.
Boston Bite has been in existence for the past, I would say, 11 years. We started around 2008, 2007 timeframe with really doing, you know, tiny small projects in technology and, mostly IT related. Product development, but really very small type of work. And over the period of time, we have grown to become a big company. Now, not big, but, you know, we're still a small company. We have been doing somewhat challenging and bigger projects. So it's been a journey for about 10, 11 years, starting with, web-based application. Then, you know, as you know, there was a big era of developing mobile apps, and mobile was a hot field. So we did tons of mobile apps at one time. Along that period, I think we were fortunate or unfortunate, whatever you may call, we got into the healthcare segment and began to develop some of the healthcare apps on the mobile space and also a little bit on the enterprise side. So there has been a long evolution time for us to get here. Very recently, we have started more sort of broader spectrum of IT development, as in we start our project really from concept to delivery and development. So basically, if we go talk to an entrepreneur or a company, if they have any product ideas or they're into a situation where they need to go to a newer market or they need to go to, new product ideas, we literally jump in there to do the digital strategy first. And once the digital strategy is successful, we actually come up with the whole development plan and how it will, how we could take the product to the market. And so very recently, we developed a telemedicine platform for a very well-reputed company in Canada. And that has also put us in a good spot with doing more very recent development in the field of telehealth and healthcare medicine, basically.
And I don't know where you are with your product in Canada, but are you in a position to describe that product a little bit? Is it real-time video conferencing? Is it a remote patient monitoring app or
just? Yeah, sure, absolutely. So it's a company called Enlive, which is based in Canada. And as you know, Canada is a vast, huge country. And they do have certain challenges somewhat similar to our rural telemedicine or rural healthcare in the United States. So being such a vast country, healthcare is always not very accessible. So their founder or the CEO came up with a very visionary idea that there's a tremendous opportunity to serve the Canadian people, and that can be done via some digital healthcare. That's where we jumped in and we did the strategy for them on how we could, do the digital part or the technology part for them, where they have this great idea of utilizing their nurse practitioners instead of the doctors to cover the vast majority of the rural population and also in many cases, urban population. So the product has been developed. We did the first cut of the product in June of 2018, and subsequently it has been under development for more and more upgrades. So it is in action, people are using it, it is going to be implemented across Canada, and so it's in a good state, more developments to come on that.
Now, some of the folks that are listening, that'll be listening to this podcast, some are technical, some will be highly technical. Yeah. Many are not. They're just, I'm in healthcare, I'm a clinician, a provider. Yeah. If it were a scenario like a hospital system or a medical practice, if they came to you and said, help us, we would like to design we need telemedicine and we kind of want to brand or design it for us. Is that something your company can do? And if so, how would you engage with that customer? Can you kind of basically walk us through that engagement?
Yeah.
Simplistic terms.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can get technical as well as non-technical, sure. Because I know most people who first come for technical solutions, they're not highly aware of how to do it. And so what we do when we actually have an encounter with these people or the companies, hospitals, or for that matter, any of our clients, we really ask them a fundamental question, as in, why do they want to do whatever they are planning for it? So, it becomes more sort of technology kind of blends in the background, or it's not a technical discussion. So for many people, just to start the conversation, it is like, oh, this is very technical. I don't know many aspects. So we take that whole whether you call it phobia or lack of knowledge out of the picture and just go really bare bone basics to why do you want to do such product, or why do you want to do, healthcare product and things like that. And then they speak, because that gets into their domain, and they would explain, I have nurses, I have doctors, I have patients or people, and these are 5-10 different problems, and we have no way of addressing it. Then they describe the processes, end-to-end workflows. And in that process, we gain insights from them and try to visualize what is going on there. What is it that we could do here? Is the problem genuine? Do we really need a technology solution? Because, implementing technology for the sake of technology is not the right solution. So we really go after very, very fundamental questions like why? And so once we are exhausted, then we want to do, okay, what? And then the how parts is where we know as engineers and technical people. I think that builds upon the relationship and engagement, make them feel that, oh, they're in the safe hand and these people know what they're talking. On the other hand, if you just simply say that, oh, you have a technology problem, here is the solution. And I don't think coming up with a solution is that easy. What you end up doing in that case is you try to fit your answers around whatever solution is being provided. And that may not be the perfect answer or solution for you. So that's our process. It's rather lengthy, but like I say, most of the time to our clients and our engineers, do it right for the first time.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for that perspective. Yeah. I often say now that when I'm talking to folks that, it's no longer about the technology.
Yes.
And I'm going to repeat myself, but people will come to me and say, we want to get into telehealth. What kind of technology solution would you advise? And My first question is just like yours. What are your processes? What are your workflows? What are the problems you're trying to address? So
Exactly. It's very, very important to ask. And I think in many situations, it's very tempting for any smaller, big companies to see something as an opportunity and just jump onto it, but that's really not the right approach. In the long run, it doesn't help anybody, because you get into a situation where you could potentially go onto the wrong track and the solution may not be right for them, and it's just not the right way to do it.
Yes, great. Thank you so much for saying that. That's I'm on board, so thank you. However, since this is some of the folks that are listening are technical, some of the first questions out of their mouths are going to be, what about HIPAA? What about security? We're in the healthcare world. Absolutely. I know we have talked, you have done a lot in the financial world as well. So
yes. Yeah. And the financial world is equally stricter. It's just that they're very ahead in the game of compliance and regulations and stuff. And I've worked for mutual funds and really big companies where, financial security is tremendously important, and they pour a lot of money into those kind of checks and balances to keep things compliant. Healthcare is completely different game. It is very stricter. It affects people's lives. It's their, private information. There are sensitivities about jobs and employments and stuff. So knowing all of that, which we all know how serious that is, technology is actually there to create that level of sophistication and security. I think the breakup happens in the human processes, trying to get a shortcut. And, and that's when I think most of the time we end up in errors. So, but technology can also prevent those areas of shortcut and keep the data very secure. As an example, nowadays we have most of the stuff being deployed on the cloud, and clouds such as Amazon and Microsoft. I'm sure you have attended the HIMSS conference. They were huge, massive booths, and they all talk about security and compliance, and they are secure and compliance. So we definitely recommend those type of tools. There's a lot to be said about the encryption when data transmission is being done. There's a lot to be said about about the data storage and record management. That's another story. You cannot just keep the record and you're done. You need to maintain it for a certain number of years. So all of these applications beyond just HIPAA and the privacy, there are many other technical components, such as what happens in the situation of disaster recovery. And, Amazon gives you a really great protected platform. But there's a disaster recovery configuration that you need to do it yourself, or you need to make sure you run those disaster recovery situation and make sure everything works. And so there's still a good amount of work, and we as human beings always have some room to make errors. And technology is there, but we need to be also careful.
Sure, thank you again. Be flexible, I hear you. And one more technical question.
Sure.
Electronic healthcare record integration. You would design an interface to, how would you do that if we said we need EHR integration?
Yeah, so nowadays, let me describe you one case where we actually ran into problems. Because the automation in healthcare industry, especially the IT part, came a lot later than maybe finance and other industry, just because of compliance regulation, so insurance, et cetera. And so most applications that were designed, if they were a really smaller one or independently designed, they weren't designed with the thought that they have to be interoperable, right? They have to exchange information with other things. So there is no thought of designing an API. There's no thought of, sharing information. It was kind of siloed, self-contained application that works fine in its own situation. Now we are talking a generation of digital health where everything is expected to talk to everything. And so integration is still a challenge in the US, outside the US, globally. And so if there is not an API, there are ways to talk to the databases if the proprietary company has made that arrangement with you. But the best place is to do with the API. There are certain companies which are very, very close. So there is this new concept of robotic process automation. It's not the perfect world scenario, but it emulates a human being. For example, if you want to get a list of patients or records from a system, you would click on certain reports and that report would generate an Excel. Then you take that Excel and pop it into another application. And that way you found some human way of sort of getting data from one system and plugging into the other. So if that human process can be automated, and that's what we call robotic process automation. Not the perfect, but it does work. So in the next few months or years, you'll see a lot of companies that are coming in that space where API is not available. So this is the way workaround you do it.
If a hospital system or if someone engaged with you, a customer engages with you, how would you support that? Is this a one-time, you know, we design the product and we sell it to you, then we're done? Or is this a, you know, and talk to me a little bit about it. I know you would custom fit it depending on the customer, but how would you engage with that customer? What would long-term support look like? Yeah. And then just describe a pricing model if you can.
Sure. So we're all about the end-to-end, the full life cycle stuff. And that is reflected in our discussion, in our strategy. So when we ask the why questions, we actually want to understand the end game, right? Where does this little thing or this product fit into the healthcare system? Where does it fit into the greater market, healthcare market? How does it do well with the competition? How does it do well with the insurance? How does it do with the entire ecosystem? And so the design kind of takes all of those things into account. Once we do that, these projects usually are longer than smaller apps, etc. And they would need a good commitment and long-term engagement with any of our clients. So in that case, we do provide different models where if they have a technical team, we work very closely with them. So we work as a joint team doing joint development. And at some point, both the teams are equally aware. So if they want to take it over upon themselves, they can take it. And we continue to provide them sort of 24/7 support for anything that happens during the implementation, after the implementation. And usually software is not, nowadays everything is beta. So there's constantly new iterations are coming, new developments are coming. So we stay engaged in the whole life cycle of the product until the client is fully comfortable, or we don't mind continuing to stay as long as they want. The pricing and model definitely differs for support. Once the software is stable and it is working fine, you really do not need to have the development team. So a support team takes over and, there's minimal whatever support is required and we charge according to that. But the main development has a different model. It basically depends on number of people working and number of hours, and we budget based on that and finish it in time.
Oh, makes sense. Thank you. So where do you see telehealth, telemedicine going over the next few years? You know, it's an exciting time, but I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. At some point I thought, this is really a cutting edge technology, which it is, but it is definitely not new. And I mean, so I've heard from you, many other people that, it's not new. It has been tried and done long time ago. I attended one conference where the doctor from Harvard Medical School, apparently, I forgot his name and I apologize for that, that he's the one who did his first telemedicine call probably 1970 or something. Not sure about the date. And so...
You're tickling my memory. I've been in healthcare a long time. Was this from the airport back to the university?
Exactly. Right.
I think it was even earlier than that.
16 or something, I don't know. So I was so inspired. I met with him and I was like, this was awesome. I actually met the person who has really created that concept. And that was a patient at Logan Airport in Boston. And the doctor was actually in Mass General Hospital, or one of those Harvard big hospitals. And they,
I believe they were using closed circuit TV at the time.
A TV camera.
Yes.
For certain treatment. I should have gotten the story right. But that was so inspiring. I'll find out how it came to be. And I actually shook hands with that doctor a year ago. And that it was a humbling experience that, what we are doing has taken years and years of evolution. To this date, we're calling it telemedicine and we are super excited about it. Now, I have often said, and it was just not me, but most people say this, that telemedicine is eventually going to become the central medicine, as in the word tele should vanish and it should become just the medicine. And I think we are in the right path for it. I think the world is ready. Healthcare is ready. People are ready. We are in day and age where automation and quick instant gratification or having solution real fast is just a normal expectation. We're not afraid of machines. The younger generation is even, they actually prefer to have these services rather than going physically to a location. So I very strongly believe that telehealth is the future. I know it will not solve every problem, but the amount of problems it can solve is monumental. And it will deliver the value to human beings, the value to the doctor, the satisfaction. And it's just a very efficient way of doing it. It will add a lot to the society as a practice. So it's going to be almost in every aspect of medicine, wherever it is possible.
Hey, if I back up a little bit to the Logan Airport Harvard encounter, was that Dr. Weinstein?
I think so.
And I think that was, I just tried to look it up, and it was 1968. There was one done
68
in April of 68. And Dr. Weinstein, I believe, is the gentleman that did that.
I think so. So I wasn't alive. That was really a humbling experience to dance with him. And he was actually a keynote speaker at that event.
Yes.
Yeah, this is really cool stuff. No, this was done 1968.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is good to be talking, because some of our listeners may hear, telemedicine isn't new.
No, it is not new. It's just that technology is the enabler that has become very available.
Yes.
And its acceptance has become much more appreciable. I mean, I just spoke to a gentleman 2 days ago. He has had a heart surgery in Boston's Mass General Hospital. And he actually prefers to talk to nurse or doctors on the video camera rather than actually having to go, especially when he knows that he's just going to do a follow-up and, he can have the same experience sitting at home and talking to that person. So it's not only just the young millennials are accepting it, it's just everybody. And anybody is accepting it. In fact, from our one of our implementations, elderly people are also more inclined to use that because that gives them a convenience and ease of use. So a lot of geriatric situation, this is a very helpful tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you. In wrapping up, what can we expect out of Boston Bite? Or any... Well, in the next few years, without disclosing projects that are probably under NDA, but anything that you...
Sure.
What can we expect out of you guys?
Now, that's an excellent question. I think we are going to get into product development. I personally have a great fascination with this device we have on our phones and computers. One is the mic and the second one is camera. And both can be input and output devices. And so what can we read from the camera and what can we read from the mic and what can we broadcast on the screen and from the speakers? So those things, I'm trying to solve that puzzle, but we do have sort of a product accelerator idea combining all of these four things that could be used in any situation. It could be healthcare, it could be retail, it could be commerce. So we're coming up with a product that will kind of integrate these things into different business situations. So the base product is already there. And so we are trying to get other use cases where we could implement that. We are also moving more on the, I hate to throw this as a buzzword, because everybody else is doing the AI. I'm hoping that I'm saying some meaningful things out of AI.
Yes.
So I guess that AI world is coming closer. It's much more usable. And by AI means we really want to do some serious AI in language processing, in decision making, where it uses deep learning, it uses a lot of intelligent algorithms, it uses appropriate sources of data so people can make better decisions. We are far from being artificially wise. We're just at the level of artificially intelligent. So hopefully the world gets to wisdom and consciousness, and we'll try to go there too someday.
Oh, thank you very much. And for those that don't know, AI is artificial intelligence. You also, when we were talking a week ago, you had mentioned that you do some creative things with your employees. If they have an idea, you let them come into like an innovation lab and you bounce ideas. Could you explain how that works and the kind of synergy you get out of your employees?
Sure. So we implemented this concept of innovation lab around 2 years ago. And the idea was to let people experiment different things. It doesn't have to be related to their work. It doesn't have to be related to their area of skill. It doesn't have to be implemented in a project that they are working on. If they are, that is great. It was just done to encourage some innovation and creativity inside the company. So people were trying about a year ago, because IoT was a hard thing. So, some of our employees came to us saying, we want to do IoT-based product development. I said, okay, what we do is we come up with a certain amount of funding every year for innovation projects. And we have them pitch like, Shark Tank type of pitching. And so they come prepared and they deliver the pitch. And if the idea is great, we fund them. We have a little space in our office where they can spend some time. They can build a team and create a product. If the idea is not that great, we put that into the graveyard. And we kind of make fun about it. So we want to encourage people to use innovation as much as possible. But the main thing from that was when we communicated that idea to people, we said that innovation does not have to be as scary as sending a rocket to moon. So we kind of simplified this whole concept of innovation. If there is something that is being done in 5 steps and you know that you could simplify it by doing in 3 steps, then you're innovating, right? So you're creating efficiency. So that way, a lot of people became bold, because when you ask people to come forward with a creative idea, their fear is, is my idea going to look stupid? Or is that going to make me look bad? So we try to take that fear out. So no idea is a bad idea. If you can simplify things from 5 steps to 3 steps, you are there. But when you actually created that environment, they were coming up with really smart ideas. So one person was able to open the office door with the phone, and then he installed it on everybody's iPhones. That was an IoT idea. Then there were several different ideas in their daily lives, and also, sometimes those ideas are actually adding value to the company, and we can pick them in the products too.
Well, we look forward to hearing what happens and some of the innovations your team comes up with over the next few years.
But we're super excited. I would love to share what happens and if we could make some big progress out of it.
Well, Mustafa, I've enjoyed talking to you, and look forward to getting updates in the near future.
It was such a pleasure of mine, and definitely stay in touch, and we should